an English primary school has scrapped written homework for nearly all its pupils because it adds to stress levels. Pupils at Littletown Primary Academy in Devon will be encouraged to do 20 minutes of reading every night instead. The change is aimed at reducing teachers' workloads as well as taking the pressure off children and their families. What do you think? 030 30 80 55 55. Perhaps you're a parent yourself and you think that the homework your child, your primary school child, is given is too much, or it takes up too much time and puts too much pressure on your child. On the line, commentators Emma Wolfe and Niamh McElhattan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
What do you reckon, Niamh? Is this something that is a positive step and we should think about implementing here?
I think it's fabulous. Actually, I have two little girls, both at primary school, and I know for a fact, like, my youngest would struggle in certain subjects, and I know for a fact that if she had more downtime to read and not have the pressure of homework after working all day at school, it would definitely make our home a lot happier. And I don't know if you have read about it, but the Finnish education system applied just this. Stress levels are down, families are happier, bring it on.
It's been a while since I was in primary school, Niamh, so how much homework are your kids actually given?
Well, it varies every night. So we have a P5 and a P6, so P6 is starting to have her tutor on top of that for her transfer test also. So you could be talking a few hours in the evening. And then if there's comprehension, if there's, you know, numeracy, it can be 2.5, 3 hours in the evening.
2.5 to 3 hours every evening for your daughter who's in P6, which is what?
And P5, and
What age is that?
So Aoife Lily's 10 and Eilish is 8.
2.5 hours, 3 hours of homework?
Yeah.
And do you have to, that seems a lot, but I don't have kids of my own, so maybe I'm just out of touch. And do you have to stay with them and help them do it, or can they go through that on their own?
Sometimes, so I'll stay with them, so I'll get them, "Mummy, I'm stuck," or "I don't understand this," and I'll sit down and I'll be completely honest. Like, maths is not my strong point, and Google is my saviour. So it is tough, and I see a big difference in these years in particular, in comparison to last year. And it's even simple things like, you know, in the evening there, you don't want to do any more. You want to go outside and play with your friends and have a bit of crack, and that doesn't happen in the evening.
But is that life? You know, I would like to go out and play with my friends and not have to come into work every day, but that's just not it's just not the way that it is. Emma, what do you think?
Well, I do think that homework is a really integral part of education, and I think that sort of independent study helps to encourage sort of self-discipline, and I think it helps to consolidate the learning that you've done during the day, you know, with your classmates and with your teachers.
Do you think does 2.5 or 3 hours seem excessive for someone of that age?
I do think that 2.5 to 3 hours is a bit much, but I don't see why homework should be either or. I think that, you know, they say they're doing reading instead of homework. But actually, I think that a bit of reading and maybe an hour of homework, I really think that's an important way of doing it on your own. I tutor children from the age of 4 up to 18, so, you know, all different age students.
What do you tutor them in?
Well, English, French, history, various subjects. But what I find is that when I set them tasks to do on their own, it picks up on things that maybe they haven't grasped or that they haven't quite understood, and it's actually a really valuable way. I'm not condoning 3 hours in the evening. That does sound as though Niamh's daughters are doing a lot. But I do think that a little bit of independent study is actually really good for, you know, just getting to grips with things on your own and picking up the things that you haven't quite understood.
I do wonder about the pressure and the expectations that we put on young people, Emma, and I know when we look back to our own childhood, we maybe look through rose-tinted glasses and don't remember, but it does seem like things are more difficult. There's more expectations on children now.
But I remember doing homework. Sorry.
No, you're right, Emma. No, go on ahead.
No. We're awfully polite this morning. We are, aren't we? I do remember doing homework, and I remember it being a bit of a bore, but I also remember that it was quite an important time when you could sort of, you kind of make those decisions between, am I going to do this? Am I going to face the teacher in the morning and not? Am I going to do my revision? That kind of thing. I do remember it being a chore, but something that you kind of, as you're growing up, you start to realise, actually, I better apply myself.
Is there an element of this where the responsibility then for educating the children moves from the teacher to the parent at home, if you're having to dish out 2, 3 or supervise hours of study every night for your child that's in primary school, it moves that away, Niamh, then from the teacher.
Well, I suppose as a parent, it's a duty of care, isn't it? That you only want the best for your kids. And, you know, I have to agree with you, Vinny. I think there is an extraordinary amount of pressure put on kids these days that is different, you know, and I just see how exasperated my 8-year-old gets some evenings, and she's just exhausted. And you think, like, really? You know, has she not learned enough today? Yes, I realise independent learning is very, very important. But I know for, say, bedtime, my girls love nothing more than getting into bed with a book and having that time out. And I know I mentioned it earlier, but a friend of mine, Deirdre Heenan, did a report on the Finnish education system. And
are you sponsored by this education system?
No, not at all. But it's a fabulous read because, you know what, kids aren't actually tested at any level until they're 16. They don't actually go into formal education till they're 7. And I think there's a lot to be said for it. You know, I think we're so hung up on academia, on performance, on, you know, tests.
So if you don't test a child, how do you know if there's an issue, unless if you wait until they're 16, how do you know if there's a problem along the way if you never test them?
Well, there's one standardised test. Yeah, sorry, Emma, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to jump in and say, funnily enough, we talk about the pressures on children, but funnily enough, when I give my really young ones tests, they absolutely love it. When we do, if you do it in a fun way, if you do like a pop quiz, it's the most fun thing. So I don't think
I used to hate pop quizzes in school, and I just dread them. I used to hate when Sunday came along and the Antiques Roadshow was on TV because you had that feeling of dread because you had to go back to school the next day.
I think the difference, though, is, Emma, you said something there which is very relatable, to make it fun. The reality of the situation is a lot of teachers don't make it fun. So it's just an added layer of pressure. Like, I've seen my girls come home and stress out because I've asked them to go over something. They panic because they're not doing it right and the teacher's going to be cross with them and all of this.
Okay.
I just think it's not necessary.
But I think it's all about how you present it. You're not going to, like, take a birch whip to them if they don't do that well. You're just
not anymore.
You know what I mean?
Well, look, there's laws, for example, Emma, when it comes to lorry drivers and how many hours a day they're allowed to drive. 9 hours a day, I think it is. Legally. Whereas, and I know that we're not asking kids to drive lorries, but we are asking children who aren't even teenagers to work for longer than that. You know, they've got school, they come home.
But they're not, Vinny. This is not like China or Japan where they're going in at 6 in the morning and literally doing 14-hour days. You know, lots of
schools. Let me say, I have, this will sound like a plug, but that doesn't matter. I have a TV programme of my own that starts next week.
Right now.
Oh, yes.
Wednesday night at 10:40 on BBC One. But the reason I bring it up is in one of the episodes, we sat the transfer test, which is aimed at, I suppose you'd be 11. And I'll not tell you how I got on, but I sat the literacy and the maths one, and I really struggled.
Yeah.
It wasn't just with the questions, it was with the time. And I knew it was just for a TV programme, and I knew it wasn't a case of this is going to change what happens in your life, but I still felt under a lot of pressure and ran out of time
in
the maths one.
Vinny, because you haven't been in practice.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm in my 30s.
You haven't probably done a test for 2 decades.
But I'm in my 30s, and I kind of thought in my head that something that was, you know, 11-year-olds being asked for, that'll be a breeze, and it really wasn't. And that pressure I felt, even though it didn't matter, it didn't impact me, that pressure was real. Let's take a call on this. It's no Nolan Show without Norman from Bangor. Good morning, Norman.
Morning, if I may.
Go ahead.
When I was in school, I got 3 homeworks. I got an English one, I got a maths one, and I got a spelling one.
Right.
And that has stuck with me today. I can count sums in my head today.
I bet you use your fingers and your toes, Norman.
Yes, and young ones, they need a calculator. And if you go on some of these internet sites, they can't even spell. They're talking like a foreign language with each other.
You mean like text talk?
Uh-huh. You know, they need to learn them how to spell properly, write a letter. How many young ones could write a letter now if they were going for a job? I don't think they could. That's what they need. English.
You're very hard on people, Norman. You're always out pointing the finger.
English writing and reading and spelling. That's what our young ones need.
Do you think 2 to 3 hours a night doing your homework if you're not even a teenager, you think is that excessive or is that fair enough?
That's fair enough. I done it, Vinny. I had 3 to do at English, at maths, at spelling to do before I went out to play. and it took me a couple of hours, but I had the rest of the night free. So I had, and it stood me in good stead today. I can write a letter, I can spell, I can count in my head, and that's what's wrong with our young ones. Either the teachers are not teaching them properly.
Okay.
I think the encouragement of more reading would be really beneficial. Like the actual rote English language is something very important, and I hate to see it lost.
There you go, Vinnie.
Let's go to Jim now in Belfast. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Vinnie.
I got distracted there. I'm not even sure what Norman said at the end. Hopefully it wasn't dodgy. Go ahead, Jim.
I don't think they should have to do homework.
None at all?
Well, I think it should stay half an hour longer in school doing it. So do it and be free when they come home. They lose the interest when they come home. It'll be up to the parents to maybe, like you say, somebody said there, to do a bit of reading or a bit of playing and teaching at the same time. You know, but I think I'll lose a bit of interest once they head out of school or are relieved. So maybe half an hour on the school's time would do a bit of homework in that half hour.
What do you think of this example over in England? One of the reasons they've done this is to take the stress off the pupils, but also to reduce teachers' workloads, because that's another element we haven't even touched on, the pressure that's on the teachers to dish out this homework and then to mark it when it comes back.
Well, half an hour more staying on, maybe it'll help the teachers when they go around with them checking the homework and so on, so that might help. Okay. Them as well, it would take a pressure off them.
Alright, Jim, thank you. We have a teacher on the line, Declan, good morning to you.
Hi, Vinny.
Should I call you sir, or how should I address you?
Well, I'm actually out of teaching at the moment. I'm doing a very exciting job, but now you can call me sir.
you're doing a very exciting job now.
Yeah.
Can I ask what it is?
I'm the education coordinator for the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a promotion.
I wasn't going to say anything, but Vinny asked.
Well, you can't say something like, oh, I've got a very exciting job now, and then not go into more detail, because of course the first thing I want to know is, what's the job? But fair play. Well done. What do you think of this in terms of, from your viewpoint as a teacher, pupils being given a lot of work to do? Should they try and do it all in school?
Well, Vinny, I'm a secondary school teacher, okay, but I work a lot with primary schools these days, so I understand the pressure and I understand why we want to take more paperwork away from the teachers. But it's up to, we need the teachers to be away from the paperwork and look at interactive, active learning classroom activities where the pupils are engaged. And when the pupils are engaged, then they ask questions. It's a whole sea change that is sort of needed, because unfortunately, a lot of schools are still too much into the talk and chalk and filling in worksheets. Where if you have, for want of a better term, edutainment, where you educate through entertainment and sparking the imagination of the children.
Is that a real thing, edutainment?
Yes.
Are we all getting too soft now? You know, the word snowflake comes into my head.
No, but it's about making education enjoyable. That doesn't mean to be soft and snowflakey.
I know, but sometimes things in life that you have to do are not enjoyable. I mean, you have to do your maths and learn the Pythagoras theorem or whatever. It gives me nightmares even thinking about it.
Nearly nightmares remembering chemistry lessons.
If you'd been in my class, then you would understand that chemistry can be fun, but all learning can be engaging. Now, not every pupil is going to enjoy a certain topic, but everything can be engaging. And when the mind is alive, the information goes in. Mm-hmm. And that is the main thing. Unfortunately, our education system and a lot of education systems are based on content and not on the skills. Because you're talking about the skills, but we can give the kids the skills to actually enjoy and do independent research, to work as a team, to do all the boring stuff as well. For me, it's admin. Do all that, but still be thrilled about going into school and learning, because it is about learning.
I don't know. I just find it so difficult at school. I really didn't enjoy most of it. The teachers and some of the pupils, of course, I had friends and the teachers were great, but the experience of school I found very tough. Niamh, you want to make a point there?
No, I was just saying, like, if you read the papers now and in the industry sector, one of the things that they cry out for is like the skills shortage, a lack of resource, a lack of skilled workforce, right? And that's us guys that have come through the ranks of education. Imagine we could get an education system where you could play to the kids' strengths and to really get them excited about going into the workplace, that they love their job, and just the knock-on effect of all of that, of going to school and having fun. Like, I hated school. I hated school.
Why?
Because I wasn't a conformist.
So you basically were, you were a bit of a badden.
A wee skitter.
A rebel.
Well, not a rebel.
I bet you were. So you didn't like doing what you were told.
No, I still don't.
So it was your own fault you didn't like school. Just do what you're told. Learn the rules and behave.
You see, it's so conformist and it's so military. I think if
conformist. You were a brat. You wanted to be 5 years old and do what you wanted.
I was five years old and did what I wanted.
You're still a brat now. Let's go to Wayne and Horan Point. Good morning, Wayne.
Morning, Vinny. Vinny, I'm just listening there. You all seem to be under the presumption that all children are basically going to be very academic. What about the children, no matter how much homework they've done, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
You just can't grasp the concept.
That's a fair point.
I can tell you now, Vinny, I was one of them. Did you ever try doing 8 hours in a school and no matter what the teacher said to you, it didn't make any sense? No matter, even when you went home, it didn't make any sense because you weren't capable of storing the information. It didn't make any sense to you.
So how did that affect you? As you were going through school then, Wayne, how did that affect you?
It was a nightmare. It was a complete and absolute nightmare. If I hadn't had my friends in school, my classmates in school, I wouldn't have got through school.
Yeah. And then
I only found out about 18 months ago that when my son was diagnosed with autism, they redone a DNA and I carried the strain of autism. So how was I even capable of learning at school?
Well, thankfully now they do pick up more on that now, but I get what you're saying. Years ago, that wasn't something that was acknowledged as much as it should have been. What about homework for you, Wayne, when you were a child? Was that something that added extra pressure to you?
I just refused to do it. It was a non-starter because basically it wasn't going to happen. My mother and father tried, but it wasn't going to work. I couldn't understand it.
Yeah, if you didn't understand even in school, you weren't going to understand at home.
Even this day, I would struggle to read. Basically, it was never going to work.
Yeah.
But when I left school, I ended up finding out I learned visually. I worked for a man for 20 years, and he learned me more when I left school, how to add and how to subtract and how to build things, than I did when I was in school, and the teachers couldn't teach me.
Yeah.
As my mother used to say to me when I sat down to do my homework when I couldn't do it, and she, this was one of her favourites, if everybody was born with brains, who would do the work?
I guess it goes to show, Emma, that when it comes to school and education, it's not always all about, you know, getting the A in your maths or English or science. You know, there are children and there will always be people that will struggle, and that will just not be where they shine in life. It'll be somewhere else.
But exactly. And I mean, there are really different learning styles as well. I mean, as your caller just touched on there, you have different visual styles, you have kinesthetic styles. Nowadays, schools do a lot more focus on different learning styles of students. But also, people have more vocational aptitude and others have more academic aptitude.
Well, how does that work when you're doing 2 or 3 hours of homework a night? If education and learning, because for some people it's just not going to work with them. They're not going to shine there. So what happens with them?
No, they're not
going
to shine. Okay, but listen, I'm a grown-up and when I sit down to do my accounts, I feel completely hysterical and I don't want to do it and I can't do the maths and I can't work out the figures. There is a role for just self-discipline and doing the things that you don't necessarily want to do. I'm not saying that one should make students miserable about their homework, but I'm just saying there is a role for just having to apply yourself to, you know, really tedious tasks.
We'll have to leave it for today. Emma Wolfe and Niamh McElhattan, you're both getting A's. Thank you very much.